It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, we are live. It is Sunday night, April 23rd. Hope everyone is having a great weekend. I am Don Tony, and this is The Sit Down. I want to thank you for joining me. Shout out to Mike. About half hour before we went live, he was introducing me to this new, I guess, network of streaming that is starting to catch on. It's called Kick. And I've had a few people mention it in the last couple of weeks. I signed up for it tonight, but I don't know really what we're going to do with it. I mean, for a very short amount of time, I had a Twitch channel going until you realize that unless you're gaming or you got a nice set of tits, you know, it doesn't really catch on. But, you know, a few people are asking me, DT, you know, you should do a show that has nothing to do about wrestling, just about life in general. You know, is it because I'm old and a white guy, an Italian white guy from Howard Beach, Queens, New York, and, you know, be interesting conversation? I don't know. We'll see down the line. You know, maybe that's something we could do once in a blue moon. But as far as a weekly episode, I don't know if something like that would catch on. I mean, just hanging out, chilling, and just talking about whatever. I mean, we can do it here. You know, Sundays, nothing is out of bounds. You know, we could talk about wrestling, non-wrestling, whatever's on your mind. Tonight, we're going to go until about 9 p.m. Eastern, 9.05 p.m. Eastern. I actually have to do something later on tonight, family stuff. Nothing bad, but something that I have to take care of. But anyway, enough of me rambling. Two things I got to get into before we start it. Number one, I'll give you instructions for anybody who's new here live that doesn't know the format of the show. A lot of people are asking about the draft special. Are we going to be doing a draft special, the Don Tony Kevin Castle show? I have not heard from Kev yet tonight because I know he is currently working. My gut feeling tells me that we will be doing one. It really just comes down to if he has to work Tuesday night. So I already took it upon myself to start playing around with a little thumbnail. You know, we're going to do one. And listen, I'll make it official on social media and on Monday's podcast. But if it goes down, Kevin and I will record it Tuesday around 10 p.m. It'll be live for our Patreon family. It's only fair. And then it'll be posted online for everyone else to enjoy around midnight Tuesday night. As you could see already, you know, we got a couple of ideas. We think Damage Control is history. We think the Street Profits are going to be split up. Seth Rollins to SmackDown, Braun Breaker to Raw, and hopefully Baron Corbin to NXT. And no, I'm dead serious about that one. So that's, you know, just playing around. So we'll make it official. Now, instructions for the show on Sundays is easy. You might even call this show the lazy show because every Sunday night I show up with nothing, with no notes, no papers, no nothing. Everybody who is live chooses what we talk about tonight. It could be wrestling, non-wrestling, whatever is on your mind. Hopefully I'll be able to answer it. You know, sometimes I get a question about soccer and that might be a little bit out of my realm. Anybody who super chats, it is never required. Everyone, but it definitely helps pay the bills, obviously, and will always get VIP treatment. So all I ask is that if you're live in the chat and you have a question you want me to answer, just type the word question before it so I could spot it quicker. If you have a comment you want me to share with everyone, just type the word comment before it. But before we start taking questions from the chat, let's get into, I see three super chats that came in right before we went live. So let's acknowledge them and some thank yous to Ronnie C. I see Mercedes Monet. I already know where this is going. DT, I need your reaction to Mercedes Monet already losing the IWGP Women's Championship to Mayu Iwatani at Stardom's All-Star Grand Queendom event. I saw only the end of the match. My apologies, I'm having a little bit of coffee. So, I don't want to go hard on Mercedes Moné. And I know that doesn't sound appropriate, but, I don't want to overly criticize her. But, she's got to make a decision about something. And I don't know if anybody else has noticed it, but, I'm just giving an opinion. She comes off as a heel for New Japan Stardom. She comes off as a heel. Just look at her promo that she cut after she lost the women's championship. She is a heel. Problem to me is she goes on social media, oh my God, guys, it's amazing, it's unbelievable, I'm crying right now, this is the happiest I've ever been in my life, and this and that. And that's awesome. That's awesome. I would never criticize anybody's happiness, seriously, unless it's their happiness is for because of our pain. That's different. But the thing is that she's sending, wrestling is entertainment. Wrestling is soap opera. Wrestling is suspension of disbelief. And she is playing a character. At the end of the day, wins and losses are predetermined. It's how you perform is what makes you a superstar, a Hall of Famer, how you connect with the fans. The thing is that she is playing a role. Okay, no matter how realistic it feels, she's playing a role. Just like if CM Punk comes back to AEW and teams up with FTR to take on the Elite or take on Kenny Omega one-on-one or take on Chris Jericho or take on Colt Cabana, they are playing characters. Unless they are legitimately shoot fighting and none of it's scripted, they're doing a form of entertainment. And the thing, in my opinion, with Mercedes, the former Sasha Banks, is she's got to pick a path and stick with it. If she's going to play full-blown heel, she can't be going on social media and gushing to her fans and showing that soft side, that personal side about her, because you root for her. You support her. And yes, you support and you root for people even if they're heels, but the point is that everything is epic and made. Look at her interview the last couple of days. We had some fun with it on Saturday. She, at the end of the day, wants to be in the same sentence with Steve Austin, John Cena, and suddenly Kenny Omega, for some reason, is on the level of those guys, which is ridiculous. I mean, Kenny Omega is one of the top stars of today, no question. But as far as the annals of history, not even in the top 20. But the thing is that she's sending these messages, and yes, be confident, but she's not coming off as a heel. She's coming off as cocky and confident, but she's not coming off as a heel. So what happens? She loses the fucking championship. She loses the championship. We just talked about on Saturday. She had three, going into today's show, she had three singles matches in the last 12 months. Three. Today would have been four. What is her record in those four matches? 2-2? All right, you want to be one of the greatest of all time. Obviously she's going to have to wrestle more. But at the same time, though, when you put these bold statements out there out of confidence and then you're booked to lose, you got all the haters laughing at her today. You got all, the people in the middle are like, what the fuck? Then you got the gushing. Oh, my God, she's so much better chasing the title instead of winning. Get the fuck out of here. None of her supporters were like, no, she don't need to win the title. She needs to chase the title. No. You want your favorites to win. You want your favorites to have championships. All right? Just like Cody Rhodes. I want him to have that championship. We understand the chase. But she's already lost. She's already lost. I'm moving to Japan. I'm learning to speak Japan. I'm doing this Japan and this and that. And then she lost. So, in my opinion, Mercedes Moné has to be a little bit more on the path of her character should reflect how she talks online a little bit more. I'll say something else. I don't want to criticize her losing. Because everybody that saw the match said it was a great match that she had with Iwatani. What I hope doesn't happen now is IWGP starts hot potatoing this title just to try to get attendance. And yes, it is smart business to a degree, but you know, she is not going anywhere right now. She is going to wrestle in California the end of May. She is getting a rematch. I don't know the name of the event. I think it might be called Resurgence. It's happening in California. I think it's May 21st. So, you know, if she regains the championship in California, you know, it's like, okay, New Japan, you know, it's, you're hot potatoing the title to get that. It's going to get old really, really quickly. But that's my immediate reaction of her losing the championship so fast. I mean, you know, that's really all I have to say about it. Did she know going into the match that she was going to lose? I have no idea. I have no idea. But that's my honest take on it. So Casey is Raw. Happy 15-month anniversary being a channel member. Much love. Much love. Thank you for that. And for all our channel members, we are doing a little bit different Q&A next week. Well, this coming week, there's already a thread posted in the community section for the next Q&A episode. It'll be channel members. It'll be available for everybody, but our channel members are going to basically set up the Q&A for everybody. So, but happy anniversary. Much love. Much love. All right. Chris Cutra, thank you, my friend, for the 20 spot. I do appreciate that. Thank you. Regardless of what anyone thinks of Omos, his big show matches against big stars always feel like something special or an attraction. And just due to his size, I think it makes guys look good being able to beat him. Let me tell you something, everyone. And I'm not saying this to upset anybody. For some of you out there that emailed me, I did see Seth Rollins' tweet. Seth Rollins, you know, when the announcement was made on WWE's Twitter that he's going to face Omos at Backlash, his response was something like, "All righty then." Like, you know, like Jim Carrey, "All righty then." That's not my Jim Carrey impersonation. But the thing is, we've talked about it many times. Omos is very beloved in that locker room. Undertaker has gone on record that if he could, he would love to mentor Omos. You have some of the big men, important men, Austin and others, who have sung the praise for Omos. Omos is not a, you know, one of those jealous dirtbags out there that everybody, even behind the scenes, does not like. Omos eats, sleeps, and shits pro wrestling. You want to root for somebody like that. And I truthfully believe there is no way in my wildest dreams I'm going to believe that Seth Rollins is so unhappy that he's got to face Omos, that he would go publicly on Twitter and say, "All righty then." Like, you're like, "Oh, all right, all right." You know, like, it's a shot at Omos. I mean, I know the haters and the people who want reasons to criticize WWE will eat it up. I just don't see Seth Rollins going that route towards Omos. You know, do I want to see Seth Rollins versus Omos? No, no. But, you know, we're not talking about, you know, like somebody that, you know, we just feel, you know, he's not trying or maybe getting it hand-fed. And yes, no question Vince McMahon has this fascination with giants, you know, since the 70s. You know, but the thing is that Omos, you know, if he does become really, really good in the ring, if he does become one of those attractions that we look forward to seeing, you know, he's got to get the opportunity somewhere. And I don't have that much of a problem with this match. Sure, I wasn't expecting it. Sure, if I had the choice, I would say no. But I'm not going to crap on it, you know. Because, again, at the end of the day, just imagine Omos himself, you know, trying, working hard, doing everything he possibly can. Had a great match in Saudi Arabia with Braun Strowman. Had a good showing against Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's another one who likes Omos. You know, the guy's trying, and to see these people online saying that stuff, it's got to hurt to a certain extent. Yes, as a fan, you have every right to say, "I don't want to see that match." That's fine. But to turn around and make it seem like that the guy is just a panty waste, I think that's a little bit over the top. You know, I want to make it clear. If I had the choice, I would not want that match. But, you know, let's give it a shot. If it sucks, we call, you know, whoever's deserving of the criticism out on it. WWE creative, Omos, whoever. But to me, I don't lose sleep over it. Okay, that's the match. Okay, interesting. It's the lower card of the night. And we move on. You know, it's not the end of the world. I mean, you know, we watch AEW, and I hate doing this, but I got to just make a point. We watch AEW put random matches on Wednesdays or on a pay-per-view, you know, with no storyline build, and people will be like epic, amazing, unbelievable. Oh, you know, Booker of the Year. And even though, you know, there's no storyline behind it, I don't complain. Give me something entertaining to watch. I think Seth Rollins, you know, taking on Omos would be interesting. You know, that's how I look at it. That's how I look at it. Thank you, Chris. Again, T-Smitty 3000 with the five spot. Thank you, T-Smitty. If I am in Naomi's inner circle, what advice would I give her? I hope she's able to return to WWE. Great work as always, DT. Thank you, T-Smitty. I appreciate that. If I was in the camp of Naomi, I would have gotten in her ear early on. And listen, I don't think Naomi is dumb in any way, shape, or form. She's a very intelligent woman. And, you know, she's perceived, you know. I think she realized early on that she, on, you know, and I know this might upset some people out there. I'm sorry. She is not Sasha Banks' equal. She is not on the level of Mercedes Moné. There are not many women that are on the level of Mercedes Moné. All right. And it's sooner or later, you know, Naomi, Trinity, she had to have looked in the mirror, you know, with some of these appearances, going to events, autograph signings, modeling things, red carpets, conventions. And it's Mercedes and Trinity, Trinity and Mercedes, Naomi and Sasha, the former Naomi, the former Sasha. There's got to be a point where she definitely said to herself, okay, you know, sooner or later, this is going to, we're going to hit a fork in the road. And we talked about this last year that, you know, they're not like a legendary tag team of all time. They didn't team up for that long. They made a statement walking out, but, you know, I don't know many people that would go to a convention to see them model because they walked out of WWE. So if I was in her camp early on, I would, you know, remind her that, you know, it's not always going to be Mercedes and Trinity, Sasha and Naomi. Sooner or later, she's going to have to find her own path. And, you know, unfortunately, she's starting to realize that now. I think she does return to WWE. I think she does. At the end of the day, it's business. And WWE's done great, you know, for her husband. You know, I understand, you know, she's got to have it good for herself too. But what I'm saying is that, you know, it's, there's no reason why, if she's getting paid well and they're not, you know, breaking the promises this time around, there's no reason why she can't come back and path her own, you know, create her own path. You know, the problem is, people need to remember this, and I think this is one of the reasons why Trinity has not returned yet. You have Rhea Ripley. It's her time now. It's still Bianca's time. And one step below, which sounds a little crazy to say, but one step below is Charlotte Flair, because she's not the champion right now. Bayley, she's not the champion right now. You know, you look at Asuka, Io Sky, you know, they're not champions right now. So you have other women that are still above Trinity on the food chain. So you can't have her come in and just hand her a title reign. You can't just give that promise and perception that, oh, she's back and, you know, immediately elevated because she walked out and she stood on her 2 feet. No, there are other people on the food chain. There are other people. Listen, remember SummerSlam? What happened to Bianca Belair? And you had people calling the race card, and, you know, here's another black woman being treated like shit, and this and that. I know it sounds ridiculous, but, you know, at the end of the day, WWE, she ended up getting so elevated from that loss, and she's never turned back. I know it's ridiculous that you have to hit that, you know, low point in WWE, but, you know, the thing is that it happened, but there's no turning back for her now. You know, those women worked through it. Other men worked through it. Naomi walked out. And yes, I don't blame her when you hear the stories of what she was promised and John Laurinaitis basically telling her, do your job and shut up. You know, I would say, fuck you, and I'd walk out also. But when she returns, it's not roll out the red carpet and give her whatever she wants. So what happens when she returns and it's still Rhea Ripley's time? Or it's Bianca Belair's time? Or now it's Raquel Rodriguez's time? Or not? Are people going to be like, oh my God, she's back, and they're treating her like shit all over again? So that is the dilemma that she has put herself in. Plus, she's not getting that income right now. You know, that's big deal also. She's not getting paid what she was getting paid before. I think at the end of the day, she will be back. I think she'll be back. Thank you, T. Smitty. Roger Rubio, what's going on, Roger? Thank you for the five spot, brother. Currently watching the Giants versus my Mets. My Mets have a heck of a lineup. Enjoy a cup of coffee on you. Thank you very much. This is my cup of coffee, but I will have yours tomorrow, and I appreciate that. I'm liking the Mets. What happened with Max Scherzer the other day was ridiculous. But I will also be fair that if you're going to use rosin and you're going to add rosin, you have to do it on the mound. You can't walk to the mound with this big amount of gobbledygook on your hands, you know, and that's the issue. I don't think he had any foreign substance at all, but he's appealing to 10 games. I think he's still going to get the 10 games, but the Mets are doing pretty good, man. I got to be honest with you. I'm shocked at the Rays are killing it right now. I think the Pirates are doing good too. It's an interesting year so far, but I'm enjoying the Mets. And, you know, Verlander and Max Scherzer, we talked about it last year with DeGrom. And you kind of had that feeling of 2001 with the Diamondbacks with Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson. That 1-2 punch gave them the World Series. So maybe for us Mets fans, we get it this year. So thank you, Roger. Much love. And, you know, I can't root for your Giants, though. Can't root for your Giants. Got to root for the Mets. Thank you, Roger. All right. Let's head on over to the chat room. Tristan Sloan, as a longtime ECW fan, what did I think of the ECW revival from 2006 to 2010? You know, that is such a good question, because this week's episode of This Week in Wrestling History is the anniversary of Vince McMahon winning the ECW championship. I was playing around with a thumbnail tonight for the preview, and, you know, I was reminiscing a little bit. Plus, you know, reminiscing my friend Timmy, you know, the ECW zombie who is no longer with us on this earth. My honest take on it was this. I was doing the hotlines, the podcast at the time, and I remember Balls Mahoney. I remember Axel Rotten, you know, talking to me and the Maniac and talking about how ECW had reached out to them about they're going to do a revival of ECW. I think it was like 2006, not 05, One Night Stand. I'm talking about bringing it back as a promotion. And everybody was excited. Sabu, RVD, you know, they were going to obviously have their own, you know, take on it, WWE. The problem was sci-fi, the sci-fi channel. And it had to be like a sci-fi take on it. Now, on a personal note, with my friend Timmy Arson, Timothy Culkins, the ECW zombie, who was doing a hotline with me and Matt Zombie and Brian Damage up until like a year before, when he called us on the phone and he's got, I got some news. And we're like, what? We had no idea. He's like, make sure you watch ECW's debut, the WWE version of it on sci-fi. Make sure you watch. We thought he was going to be a security guard. We thought he was going to be like an extra. He comes out and he does the whole zombie thing. And I was crying. I mean, happy tears. You know, like one of my closest friends, one of my hotline buddies, Timmy Austin, Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline. He's the answer of a trivia question. Who is the first person to show up on WWE's version of ECW? The zombie. That's my co-host. in the WWE ring, and it was fucking awesome. Until we saw Mordecai, and I remember, like, we saw Moon outside, or he was standing outside, and you had Shelly Martinez, and, like, they're doing this super, and it was downhill after that. Not all of it was bad. You know, CM Punk actually had a decent run in that ECW. You also had the Big Show. You had Kane. So there were parts of it that I enjoyed. I felt, give me a little ECW, then nothing at all. WCW had gone out of business. ECW had gone out of business 5 years earlier. You know, so it's like, and I wasn't the biggest fan about TNA at that time, NWA TNA. So give me a little ECW, and I'll be good with it. Unfortunately, it didn't pan out the way it did. And then we had RVD, who became WWE champion and was ECW champion, and he gets pulled over in a car with Sabu and loses both of those championships. And before you knew it, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize to this day that when ECW folded, WWE's version of it, it was replaced with NXT. A lot of people probably don't even realize that announcement, that it was replaced with technically NXT. So there were parts of it that I enjoyed. Seeing Steven DeAngelis early on doing commentary, announcing, that warmed my heart until they quickly replaced him with Justin Roberts. That pissed me off. Nothing against Justin Roberts, even though he still has me blocked to this day, because I didn't like him as ECW announcer. But, you know, there were parts of it I liked. Want to wish a happy 26-month anniversary being a channel member. So fly. So fly, but more. See, I don't want to say be amore, because that would be bastardizing your name. So fly, happy 26 months being a channel member. It's amazing how long this channel's actually been going. And, yeah, I appreciate everybody's feedback lately, because I announced, you know, we're changing the channel a little bit, pulling back a little bit, you know, spreading out, evening out the audio only and doing video too. But, you know, as you see, you know, when we do video, you know, we don't hold back. We're having a good time. So thank you. Michael Gonzalez, would it be in John Cena's birthday? Do I have a favorite feud of his? I mean, my favorite match is, there's two of them. One when Brock Lesnar, actually three. One when Brock Lesnar just beat the balls off him. To me, that was necessary. All of the buildup of Super Cena, you know, to see Brock Lesnar beat the shit out of him on that pay-per-view, it felt like a purge. Like, okay. You know, his match with Kevin Owens was great. His feud with AJ Styles was great. You know, I know people don't immediately associate those two guys with John Cena. They'll bring up Randy Orton. They'll bring up Edge. They'll bring up others. But, you know, I started really appreciating Cena during that time, because you knew that Cena knew how to wrestle more than, you know, the five moves that we would see on TV. It's just that, you know, people didn't want to see him do, you know, some of the other stuff that he did early on. You know, it's like Hogan. You know, people watch vintage Hulk Hogan in Japan and they're mystified. They're just amazed. They're like, holy shit, the guy could actually work. Yeah. WWF fans at the time didn't want to see him doing the Japanese style. So those are some that come to mind. I mean, overall, probably a few with Edge might be at the top of my list, or it's very, very close to it. So, but yeah, John Cena's birthday today. Happy birthday, John Cena. Kevin Milwaukee's favorite wrestler is RVD. And also an answer to the trivia question, who's the only wrestler in history to lose two world championships on back-to-back nights? Yeah. If he would never have had, you know, well, you don't want to say if he would have never been pulled over. I mean, they shouldn't have had the shit on him in the first place. Makes you wonder. I mean, what would have happened if he never got pulled over with Sabu that time? Personally, I think we would have still ended up with the same result. They didn't just wake up one day and just decide, hey, we're going to replace ECW with NXT. I mean, this was something planned for a while. Plus, you know, the writing was on the wall for a lot of the ECW originals. You know, I still have that podcast episode with Balls Mahoney. myself and the Mass Maniac, given a lot of behind the scenes dirt at that time, you know, some of the things that were going down. So, you know, I still think in the end, we would have still ended up with the same outcome. It probably just would not have happened on back-to-back nights. So, Jim Carrey's birthday is today. Okay, very, very cool. You know, Jim Carrey, I'm kind of torn with. Like, he's weird. You know, he's a little bit out there with his political views, you know, but he entertained the shit out of me back in the day. You know, when I saw that behind-the-scenes stuff with the Andy Kaufman making that movie and him, like, trying to, like, so hard to become Andy Kaufman that he turned into kind of like a weirdo himself. You know, I didn't know what to believe at that time. You know, Jim Carrey's a little bit off, but man, did he entertain me back in the day. You know, what was it? In Living Color, right? His stuff with the gasoline, Firebreaker Chip, was it? Or wait, is that a WCW wrestler? But man, he was funny back then. You know, kind of like gets me a little depressed. I was talking to somebody, you know, earlier this weekend, and we were talking about, you know, early on and, you know, some of the technological things that we had to go through early on with the hotlines and using real media and 56K modem, even before MySpace and other stuff like that. It's like, wow, I really feel fucking old because we've actually been doing things before any of this technological, you know, advances over the years. You know, it's kind of mind-boggling when you go back and I think about even some stuff with technology, even with the flip phones. Somebody was showing me, it was the anniversary of, I think, LeBron James at a WWE event, and Steve Austin was throwing beers, you know, drinking beers, and he was getting tossed beers, and LeBron's at ringside taking pictures in a fucking flip phone. It was pretty, you know, you look back on it like, holy shit. So, Fire Marshal Bill. Thank you, Sandman Sizzle. I know it's Fire Marshal something. I think Chip was a WCW wrestler. Oh, fuck. I just dropped coffee all over me. That's all right. I'll take a shower after. We would have likely not have gotten Cena versus Edge TLC. Oh, that is no, I think we would have, maybe not at TLC, but I'm glad we did. You know, his feud with Wrestling Nuts, welcome to the family. His feud with Edge was pretty good, man. It was, you go back and you see some of the spots that they did. Some of that shit was crazy. I mean, you know, they had a long feud too. You know, by the way, I don't have it in the room. Oh, yes, I do. If I could give everybody a little piece of advice, something that I should have done 2 years ago, that I didn't do until this weekend, and it is such an eyesore for me that it's a little piece of advice for anybody out there that wears glasses, reading glasses, especially if you podcast or even if you walk around the house and your glasses are loose. Because one of the things that had always pissed me off about doing video is if you watch me during the shows, you'll see me many times going like this, I'm going like this, I'm going like this. If you notice, I haven't done it at all during this show. I picked up these. One of our followers, Jonathan, told me, DT, why don't you get some temple grips for your glasses? And I didn't even say anything. And I was like, wow, he noticed too. You get these on Amazon. They're called temple grips. All they are is a little piece of rubber that you slide. It's a very tight squeeze, but you slide it on your glasses on the arms, and look, does not move at all. I mean, it's a little loose, but that's it. Solved my problems. And I was like, I can't believe for over two years, I never ever did anything about that. So somebody took notice and said, DT, why don't you get some temple arms, you know, temple grips, whatever. So if you have a pair of glasses, especially if you podcast, and, you know, you find yourself doing this or, you know, picking up your glasses all the time, pick them up. $5. I bought like 6 pairs and I already put them on all my glasses. So William M. is in the house. Hollywood Hogan or All-American Hulk Hogan? As a kid, All-American Hulkamania. as a young adult, you know, close to middle age, Hollywood Hogan. He was much cooler at that time. Even though, you know, not everything he did was cool, but, you know, it's phases. And towards the latter end of his career, Hulkamania once again, you know, when he had the match with The Rock at WrestleMania, I mean, let's be honest, even though he had the black and white on, he was Hulkamania. That was the red and yellow. To see him go from one transition, and look, it sucks that he had all that behavioral issues. You know, some of the dumb things that he said, because, you know, that guy should be revered as not the greatest of all time, but right up there. And he's not celebrated. He's not celebrated like he should. He should be, you know, and he did it to himself. And he did not take the proper actions to rectify the situation. There is no track record. There is no, you know, anything since then to make us believe that he, you know, still says the N-word or still says the dumb things that he did. It's God's will. You remember that happened to Nick Hogan's friend, Nick Bollea. But he still, you know, didn't do the things that were necessary to repent. To repent. And it kind of sucks to see that when you celebrate the legends, you know, he still appears once in a while, but it should be much, much greater. And it's not. And I don't think it ever will. You know when I think it will? When he is terminally ill. I know that sounds awful, but I think when he's terminally ill, that sympathy will kick in for a lot of people. Sure, you'll still have people good. He deserves it, this and that. I get it. But I think when he looks, no pun intended, mortal, I think that's when people will warm up a little bit more. You know, it sucks to see, you know, the way things ended up. And you could see in a lot of people's eyes, a lot of people feel that he cried not because of, you know, being, you know, regretting what he said. He was crying because he got caught. And a lot of people still feel that way to this day. So, all right, Rams fan. What's up, Rams fan? This year marks the 20 years since the co-GM angle with Bischoff and Steve Austin. What's my memories of that storyline? I actually preparing for Tuesday's history episode that I'm uploading. I was reminiscing because that is on that episode. Steve Austin retiring 20 years ago this week from in-ring action was surprising. I mean, you know, we remember him taking his ball and going home, didn't want to work with Scott Hall and everything like that. And we knew we remember the neck injury that he had in his match with Owen Hart. I don't think any of us ever really thought that he was done the way it happened. It softened the blow because I still remember that announcement of him retiring was done in the afternoon on that day. When they announced that Steve Austin was retiring from in-ring action, that was reported early in, I think, on a Monday. By the end of Raw, he was announced as co-GM with Eric Bischoff. So, you know, it was still hard to accept that Steve Austin was no longer going to be wrestling. But the shit he was doing with the, you know, with the 4x4, whatever that fucking thing was, the ATV or whatever, and doing the beers and him and Bischoff with all the comedy segments, you know, I have a DVD still. It's the, I forget what it's called, but it's a lot of clips of after Raw goes off the air. And there is a boatload of clips on there of Steve Austin as GM of Raw. And it's funny, funny shit, man. Especially that he was able to drink and able to still give the middle finger and stuff like that. I think that's what made him so much more enjoyable. If we would have been, you know, in the current PG era, I don't think it would have been as good. You know, yes, he could drink beer, you know, this day and age, but still, it's nothing was held back at that time. Remember he poured the beer on Lillian Garcia at that time. It was some, you know, interesting moments, but, you know, it was hard to accept that he was done. And when you realize his peak in wrestling, I always compared it to like Reggie Jackson. I know it's an outdated reference, but Reggie Jackson, you know, he's one of the greatest New York Yankees of all time, and his career was just from 77 to 82. Reggie Jackson became a Yankee in 1977. He went to the California Angels in 1982. 5 years. Not even, if you think about it. Steve Austin's peak was late 90s, you know, till early 2000s. By 2003, he was done as an in-ring wrestler. You know, it's not many years. It is kind of amazing that it's already been 20 years. It is kind of amazing because this is when we were transitioning from hotlines to podcasting, and covering it at that time was pretty interesting. So, Guardian of Chaos. What's up, Chaos? When I get a chance, he put up some incredible footage on his channel. Check it out. It's everything from AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Christian Cage, Kurt Angle, and Chaos himself. I will. I'll watch it tonight because I have to do something with family around 9:30. When I get back, like around 11, you know, I'll have most of the night free. I will definitely check it out. Absolutely. And post the link in the chat room so everybody that wants to go check out your channel. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. JS is in the house. He was curious how podcasters get to interview wrestlers from WWE or AEW. Do you ask the company for permission? Well, here's the thing. I never interviewed wrestlers back in the day. I'm not saying this to be braggadocious in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying it to make a point. You know, early on when we started doing the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show, and it became, you know, the biggest, most popular wrestling show on the net, and for 2 weeks we were number one on Stitcher. Not wrestling, not sports, every podcast. Even bigger than Joe Rogan for 2 weeks. Don't ask me why. I don't even remember what we covered those 2 weeks, but it just went viral for a couple of weeks. Now look at us. But the point is that early on when we started really getting good numbers, we realized that people were tuning in because of us. It wasn't like in your head, guest Eric Bischoff or Diamond Dallas Page or this person or that person, this person. And, you know, a lot of those podcasts, they did a decent job. I know I used to go after them. But you never knew if people were tuning in because of the host or because of who the guests were. So it became a running thing on the show that we were never going to have guests. Because the whole thing is that whatever numbers we get, we know it's because they want to tune into us. When, you know, obviously a certain wrestler had a serious medical issue, that kind of changed it for a brief time. But the thing is that if I did want to interview WWE wrestlers or TNA wrestlers or AEW wrestlers, even now, you do have to contact their PR department. You do have to reach out to them. Or, you know, I will say this, though. You can reach out to individual wrestlers these days if you have the means of messaging them. I mean, you don't want to send it to their private contact, but if they have a public email address or if their DMs are open for everyone, you could send them a message, say, hey, you know, I do this podcast, you know, would you be interested in coming on, or I would love to have you on my show. 9 times out of 10, they will direct you to WWE or AEW. They'll say you need to go through them. But they'll probably supply you with an email address or a contact or somebody within that company that could steer you in the right direction. Wrestlers, you know, in TNA, it was a little bit different because not every wrestler had a TNA contract. So if we wanted to, we could if we wanted to. But most of the time, if you wanted to interview somebody, and WWE, absolutely, you have to get permission from WWE. It has to be clear. I should say it like this. It has to be cleared by WWE. Look, Karrion Kross, perfect example, Karrion Kross. A lot of people want Kevin and I to still do that interview, that conversation with Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross has made it, you know, no secret that before he even got into wrestling, you know, he just was loyal and loved our shows. Big supporter, still supports us to this day, still tells people, hey, man, tune into their stuff. But we still have to get the okay from WWE. Even though he wants to do it, we still have to get the okay to WWE. So you can reach out to an individual person, but they'll probably direct you to their employer, and then you have to get their okay. So, and don't try to go into business for yourself. You know, always put it out there what you want to talk about. You don't have to give every single detail of every little thing you want to say, but you don't want to try to, you know, be, you know, slick or snide or sneaky. And, you know, in the back of your mind, you want to segue into a particular topic that you think you're going to get, you know, an exclusive, interesting answer or an odd reaction to something. You know, you want to be respectful and you want to, you know, let the person know an overall of what you want to talk about. And you lead it that way. You know, that's why, look, even the last discussion that I had with Matt Riddle's girlfriend, Misha Montana, you know, before we did it, you know, I told her, we talked about Matt Riddle. And we talked about, you know, why he was off TV. And, you know, I know everything in him and there is to know about what happened. At the end of the day, I told her, I said, listen, do not worry. I will not put you in a situation to bring up a question or a topic that is going to, you know, like hint or tease or something, like, you know, like we'll get into whatever we can. Things that are too personal, we leave it alone. And I made a disclaimer early on. I said, listen, you know, anything that's a little too personal, everyone, don't expect me to, you know, to pry. If it's really personal, if Matt Riddle wants to make it public, then he makes it public. I don't make it public because, oh, wow, look, you know, he had the ball. You know, that's not the way you do business. And I told her, one of the, just so you know, one of the, I don't want to say stipulations, but one of the agreements that she and I made when we had our discussion was he needed to listen to it first and give the okay. And once we were done with the show and she sent him the file, he listened to the entire thing and he's like, bro. Yes, he does say bro in real life. He was cool with it. He's like, yeah, go ahead. Everything's good. You know, you don't want to be that guy. You know, like, trust me, you have no idea, especially when Dixie Carter was still around and I had that situation with Bully Ray and others. In the back of our minds, Kevin and I both thought, like, wow, we'll get so much like buzz around the show if we say this, if we brought this up, if we agreed to bring this, if we put this person on. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, you know, and then what? You know, like you get like 5 minutes of fame and then what? You know, like it's about reputation. It's about, you know, being a little bit respectful. Even to the people that you don't like, you have a little bit of respect. I used to joke with Tony Khan. Tony Khan would never come on. But even if he ever did come on, I'm not Ariel Helwani. I'm not going to hit him with questions that are going to, you know, like you would obviously, Ariel Helwani, you expect him to ask the questions that he asks. Me, I'm not going to put somebody in the corner. You know, but trust me, back in the day, I wanted to interview Dixie Carter so bad. I wanted to hit her with the cash flow positive remark that she made to like Sports Illustrated or something. I wanted to just hit her with that just to let everyone reveal that she's got a stuttering problem. That I remember exactly, I envisioned it in my ears and my eyes how that would go down. She'd be like, and then I was like, yeah, I don't want to be a dick. And I passed it up. You know, but trust me, you get that temptation, but you got to be respectful. All right, William M. with a comment. Hands down, the Bloodline storyline has been the best thing in the WWE over the past year. Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree. Some people are getting a little bit tired, though. People are getting tired that it's still the Bloodline, that it's still the Usos, that it's still Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. You know, the Usos got to get the rematch, and it's happening this Friday. Riddle, even though he's been losing a lot, Riddle, at the end of the day, would prevail. You know, he, at the end of the day, is going to cost the Usos in some way winning the tag titles this Friday. and that will lead to backlash. Once backlash is done, then you start moving in a different direction. Now, how they're going to do this with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn is easy. Once the draft is over, Adam Pearce is going to announce, you know, I don't know if you really thought about it, but WWE already planted the seeds. And they planted it even before Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn won the Unified Championships. If you remember, for a short period of time, the Usos were having title defenses on Raw and SmackDown. And WWE did tournaments. I think Braun Strowman and Ricochet won one of those tournaments. And they were fighting for just one set of the championships. That was to prepare everyone. That is what they're going to do with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Shortly after the draft, Adam Pearce is going to announce tournament on Raw to determine the new number one contenders for the Raw Tag Team Championships. And then there'll be a tournament on SmackDown to determine the new number one contender for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. The only question that you have after that is, when does Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn lose one set of those titles? And to who, obviously. But we got to get through backlash first. And obviously, Night of Champions. Because Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will not be going to Saudi Arabia. So they will be unified champions, should be until at least the beginning of June, which is only 5 weeks away. But until the first week in June, they should still be unified champions. Going into SummerSlam is where you have to start thinking about it. But that's how they're going to start separating these championships. You will see number one contenders on both brands. So that's how they're doing it. I mean, you want to take that as news, go right ahead. You want to take it as sausage, go right ahead. But that's how they're going to do it. Start preparing yourself for tournaments. And that's how you could get a title change without even a feud. You know, tournaments we get sick of at times, but they do create a little buzz. And determining the new number one contenders, doing it through a tournament, I'm just using an example, the Viking Raiders. The Viking Raiders should not become tag team champs anytime soon, in my opinion. But the Viking Raiders could easily win one of these tournaments and get a title shot. No feud, no storyline, no just showing up and beating the crap out of Owens and Sami Zayn. I don't think anybody really wants that other than the Viking Raiders and Valhalla. So that's how they're going to do it, so prepare yourself. All right, we got to start bringing this home. We got about 10 minutes left. I know time flies when you're having fun, but hey, we got a busy week coming up. We got Raw tomorrow night. I'll be here for your Raw post show. Tuesday night, Kev and I'm pretty certain we will be doing a draft preview. If Kev is busy and he has to work, then there's two options. Either I do one by myself, or maybe I'll ask him to do one Wednesday afternoon. I personally expect we'll probably do one Tuesday night. So prepare yourself. I mean, I'll make it official through all the appropriate channels. And by the way, I know I never bring this up, but I didn't realize how YouTube does it now. Something you, every single one of you should do, for seriously, from now on. You should turn on notifications for my channel. And that's not to try to get you to subscribe or anything like that, but I did not know when you have notifications on the top right-hand corner of your computer screen, you will get an alert when I do post an announcement, when I post a thread on community section, when I post a video, or preview a show. Like, you will get a quick notification. So I have that on for some of the channels that I tune into. And it's definitely something that you should do, because you'll get alerted immediately when something is announced or online. So do that. Mark Hicks the second. What do I do in Drew McIntyre when he returns? Well, we got to do the draft first. You know, understand Becky Lynch, Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre is not walking out of his WWE deal. Drew McIntyre, and I'm not trying to take sides, Drew McIntyre is extremely grateful to WWE for Clash at the Castle. Even though he lost, he is still grateful for what WWE has done for him the last couple of years. They are paying him well. To me, Drew McIntyre is still a main eventer. I don't know if he becomes heavyweight champion again anytime soon, but he has solidified his status. And again, with Endeavor and WWE finalizing a merger and acquisition, contracts is not necessarily something you do in the midst of it. You know what that reminds me of? Maury from Goodfellas. Remember the movie Goodfellas? You remember when they did the Lufthansa heist and Robert De Niro, you know, he's got the money and he's going to divide it for everybody. And Maury is like, I want my money. I want my money. Fuck you. I want my money. But bullshit. I want my money. And then you remember he's sitting at the bar. You know, Drew McIntyre is not going to be Maury. WWE and Endeavor right now in the middle of a, you know, $11 billion, whatever it is, $9 billion merger and acquisition. And they're also working out TV rights with Fox and NBC Universal for extensions. The last thing that's top priority on their other side, I want my money. I want my money. My contract is up in 10 months. I want my money. I want my money. Fuck that. I want my money. You know, this is why people who complain about that shit online or even tease it, that's why they're making $11 an hour. And Drew McIntyre probably makes $11,000 an hour. So Drew McIntyre, you got to wait for the draft to take place. And then we got to see where it goes from here. I know people fantasize about a heel turn, Drew McIntyre. I'm still waiting for Liv Morgan to turn heel. You know, let's see who goes where. I'm sure Drew McIntyre will come up in our conversation for the draft preview on Tuesday. But right now, we don't even know who's going to be on each brand. You know, we don't know if Drew and Sheamus are going to be on different brands. And yes, the last time they were together was in a three-way at WrestleMania fighting against each other. They may be split, so there isn't any, you know, reuniting or unifying or, you know, joining up or feuding with each other. We got to wait. We got to wait for the draft, see who goes where, and then go from here. But this narrative that there's a, I mean, let me say it like this to be nice. Something for you to think about. Was Drew McIntyre's contract a problem 6 months ago? No. Was it a problem a year ago? No. Drew McIntyre was making the same money 6 months ago he's making now. Drew McIntyre is making the same money now that he did a year ago. So why all of a sudden is it a contract mess? Why? Because of creative? Why? Because, you know, like LA Knight, very interesting something that's going down right now with LA Knight. LA Knight did an interview with a news station the other day, and I'll bring it up tomorrow again, but LA Knight did an interview with a news station, and the topic of becoming heavyweight champion came up, and basically, you know, he said that his fans, you know, they want to see him become champion sooner than later. Okay, that's fine. I agree. I would love to see LA Knight be put in a position where it makes sense and he becomes heavyweight champion. A lot of news sites out there clickbaited and twisted it to make it seem like WWE management was looking to make LA Knight a heavyweight champion sooner than later. That's not what was said. He was talking about the fans wanting him to be heavyweight champion, not WWE management. So my point is that fans online and journalists who take their emotion and try to report it as news, they want a certain narrative. And because they're not getting the narrative they want, they try to turn it into a negative news story. Because Drew McIntyre is stuck in the mud right now because it's no longer his time to be in the spotlight, the people out there, instead of just accepting and say, right now it's Gunther's time, right now it's this person's time, it's this person's time, no, they got to turn it into controversial news story. So Drew McIntyre is like, all right, I'll have fun too. I'll go dark on Twitter. I'll take my WWE references offline. I'll fuck around. I'll play the game. And then people think like, you see, I told you. Meanwhile, Drew McIntyre is laughing somewhere with his family. So we wait a little while. Chaos says he made $11.50 an hour in 1986. I think I made $3.35 in 1986. I know I only made probably like $3.50 or $4 an hour in 86. Trust me, I do remember. All right, we're going to finish this up in 5 minutes. So last call for questions. Dragon Den, did I see the Dusty Rhodes A&E documentary? Yes, I've seen it twice. Loved it. Loved it. So many subliminal messages as far as where they're going with Cody Rhodes right now. Cody Rhodes is doing Dusty. And the 2023 version of it, that was very strategically placed, putting it on TV a week after WrestleMania. I loved it. I loved it. Because a lot of people, you know, understand, even young fans of today, other than Kevin Owens taking on Steve Austin, they've never seen Steve Austin wrestle live. It's already 20 years that Steve Austin has done. So you got fans right now in their mid-20s, you know, 23, 24. They would have been 2, 3, 4 years old at the time Steve Austin retired. A lot of people out there never saw Dusty Rhodes wrestle live. You know, the only time I ever saw Dusty Rhodes wrestle live, I think, was in 1985 at a Madison Square Garden show. You know, everybody, the way WWE portrays it, they portray it like Dusty wrestled for the WWF in the late 70s, feuded with superstar Billy Graham, and then went to the NWA afterwards. No, Dusty Rhodes actually wrestled in 84, 85 for a brief time for the WWF, for a couple of garden shows. I don't remember who he faced. It might have been Samoan number 3, Samula. But I do remember seeing Dusty Rhodes wrestle in, it's either 84 or 85, in the garden. And he was doing everything vintage Dusty Rhodes. This was way before he came in with the polka dots, you know, and everything else. But the documentary was not complete, but it did everything it needed to do. Not only did it give you an understanding of why Dusty was so beloved, but it also showed you why the wrestling world beloves Dusty Rhodes to this day and how he mentored so many people. And it's a shame that he was taken so soon, because he'd still now be in NXT. And, you know, I even like this stuff in TNA. I even like the shit that he was doing with TNA. That, you know, like, there really was never a time that I ever, like, I can't think of a time that I didn't like any of Dusty stuff. The ECW stuff was a little odd. You know, him going up with Steve Corino was a little bit weird at the time. But he backed it up. He wasn't bad. You know, like, you know, Dusty was Dusty. And you know what's great about it? Dusty Rhodes is not hyped. He's not hyped. You know, I'm not going to say right now Dusty Rhodes is the greatest of all time. You know, would I have even put him in the top 10? No, probably not. You know, and I've said many times before, Dusty Rhodes is not one of the greatest heavyweight champions of all time. Dusty Rhodes only had the belt total for what? You know, less than a couple hundred days combined reigns. But Dusty Rhodes, the overall, you know, what he put out there, it's one of the top of all time. He was the complete package and a mentor and everything like that. And it's a shame that he was taken so soon. I didn't realize that, you know, when he got sick and he had, you know, the issue and went to the hospital, that within, what did they say, 30 hours, he was gone. That just goes to show you, man, you know, you get older, and I'm not trying to end this show on a down note, but, you know, now I'm in my 50s. I haven't really, like, been in, like, perfect health. You know, and you always think to yourself, my God, you know, like, 30 hours, he was gone. That could happen to anybody at any time. You know, this week is the anniversary of Chris Candido, you know, having the leg injury on TNA's pay-per-view, and then a couple of days later dying from the blood clot. You know, it just goes to show you, like, you know, you go from one extreme to the other. You know, it's hits you when you least expect it, man. No idea when Randy Orton will be back, but I do believe that they are preparing for his return, because they have name-dropped his name quite a few times recently. You know, Riddle, you know, if you watch closely, Riddle came back to get revenge on Solo Sikoa and the Usos in the Bloodline. That was the storyline all along. We talked about that a couple of months before. They didn't have to name drop Randy Orton as much as they have. He could have mentioned in passing, you know, his previous teaming up with Randy Orton, that they took out Randy as well, but they mentioned Randy's name a lot. I think Randy Orton will be back sometime this year. You know, will it happen by summer? I think it's possible. We'll see. All right. Let's do a couple like quick rapid fires because I'm out of here definitely in like 3 or 4 minutes. Rocky Red playing devil's advocate. It's always fire Vince. Blame Vince. It's all Vince's fault. He's not giving him out, but why is Triple H so protected from BS? You have to ask those people. I talked about it yesterday. I've talked about it countless times in the past. Triple H has been there since the 90s. Triple H is part of the machine. The reason why he gets a pass is because people think that Triple H, if people annoy enough online and people are loud enough online, they think Triple H will listen and listen to them. And then they feel like they deserve credit. You know, they just push this narrative that Triple H is, you know, like the opposite of Vince McMahon, and he's not. I mean, we called out a lot of the creative things that have gone down since August of last year. But that's people's out. Like, you know, okay, Vince is out of there now. And listen, the one thing, and I said it yesterday, go check out yesterday's show. The one thing about Triple H is he's given some people more opportunity to show that they should belong. You know, creatively may not have been the best. Look at some of the people he's brought back and see where it's gone to this day. But there's no question he's given some of these people enough opportunity to put their product out there and say, okay, tell the WWE Universe what you have to offer and show me through the WWE Universe why you should remain. I'm sure he didn't say it like that to all the wrestlers, but you look at the people who have returned. He has given some people a lot of TV time. Well, some people have complained that they get too much TV time, but the idea is people hope that Triple H, you know, will be an alternative. And plus people have climbed that mountain and they want to die on it. You know, they have said some pretty ridiculous things back in the day as far as Triple H's legacy being erased and this and that, and it was all nonsense. The problem is when you make a narrative like that, you kind of got to stick to it. You can't backtrack because then you realize you're just talking out of your ass. And, you know, again, there's nothing wrong with having opinions. There's nothing wrong with having viewpoints. But when you try to turn those into facts without knowing that they're facts, you got to die on that hill because they're not facts. And then, you know, if you acknowledge that, then you realize, people realize, like, oh, you were just talking out of your ass. You were portraying it as news. Something happens on TV. Oh, that's Vince. That's Vince. Says who? You know, people forget with TNA. Oh, blame Russo. Blame Russo. Hashtag blame Russo. Blame Russo. And Vince Russo definitely deserves criticism. I'm one of his biggest supporters. Always have been. But he definitely deserves criticism. But you realize years later that Vince Russo did not have anything to do with this storyline in TNA. And, oh, Vince Russo had nothing to do with this in TNA. And then you realize, okay, anytime something was bad, blame Russo, blame Russo, blame Russo. All right, everybody, I'm out of here. I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Sit Down. Great questions, great discussion. I hope you enjoy Raw tomorrow. I hope it's good. You know, it's the last Raw before the draft. And we're leading into Backlash, which is in less than 2 weeks. So we will have the draft next Friday or this coming Friday. Then the following Monday will be the second half of the draft. Then we have NXT. Then you get the SmackDown right before Backlash. And I believe next Friday SmackDown is also in Puerto Rico. Bad Bunny's going to be on Raw tomorrow. They will make that match official of Damian Priest and Dominic Mysterio versus Bad Bunny and Rey at Backlash. That will give us 6 matches announced, and we'll see if they add one more. I think the LWO. I think the LWO have to have a match at Backlash simply because they're in Puerto Rico. I know people are going to say, oh, no, Santos Escobar, Mexico, not Puerto Rico. But no, that it's heavily Latino, this event. And nothing wrong with that. But I expect the LWO to get a match for Backlash. We'll see what happens. But if you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. If you know anyone else out there that might enjoy the channel, let them know about it. And, yeah, I'm out of here. Don't forget, DonTony.com. Download the audio versions of what we do here. That helps more than you know. Not only, you know, does it help us, you know, obviously with our stats and everything, but, you know, it's a lot less data. And unless there's a specific reason for seeing the video aspect of this, you know, listening to the shows are just as well. 90% of my audience is audio only, still to this day, when you figure out all the numbers. So definitely support DonTony.com because that does help us stay in business as well. So again, pay attention to social media and Monday's show. I will let you know for sure. Maybe tonight I'll have the answer, but I'll let you know for sure if we're going to be doing a draft preview Tuesday night. I expect it to happen. We'll see what happens. Obviously, real life work comes first. So if Kev has to work, you know, that's cool. But I'll definitely let everybody know. So, my friends, have a good one.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.